The test is in four part, part one, part two, part three, and part four. Now look at part one.
Part one.
You are about to hear a telephone conversation between a man and a woman about a rental property. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 7. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 7.
Central Realty, Jill speaking. How can I help you?
Yes, hello, Jill. I've got a problem, a complaint I wish to register. Who should I speak to?
You'll want to speak to Tracy, the residential manager. Just a moment and I'll put you through.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Tracy. I understand your rent is going to be increased.
Yes, this is why I'm calling. I was told that my rent would not be increased for the length of my 6-month contract, which I signed only 4 months ago. What's going on? Is my landlord allowed to do this?
I see. Yes. Okay. That seems strange. Look, can I take down some of your particulars and I'll register a formal complaint to the landlord on your behalf?
Yes, sure. That'd be good.
Firstly, name and address, contact details.
Yes, Jane McSweeney. That's McSweeney, 3 Mauger Street. That's Mauger Street, Windorree, 3355.
And the phone there?
Yes, you can contact me on 334756, extension 3176. I generally arrive home by 6 o'clock in the evening, so you can call me around that time, but not after 9. Oh, sorry, 8:30, because that's the time I leave for work.
Okay, so I should note down that the problem is that your landlord wants to raise your rent. And when did you first move in?
Yes, well, the contract began on August 1st, and... Oh, hang on. Sorry, that's the ending date. We actually moved in on February the 1st.
Before you listen to the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 8 to 10. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 8 to 10.
Okay. Good. Now, if need be, you will have to send a letter to the Rental Tenancy Board. But as I said, first let us approach your landlord on your behalf and see if we can work out the problem before it gets to that situation. I'd be very surprised if you have to send a letter. 95% of these kinds of problems get solved early on.
Okay.
Now, if you have any problems you need to discuss, feel free to come in and talk with the general manager. In the meantime, if you would just wait until we receive an answer from your landlord, we'll be able to then plan our next step.
Is there anything else I could be doing?
Well, you could write a letter to the RTB listing all the events as they happened from your point of view. But as I say, hold on to it. Don't send it unless we have to. Well, that's about it for now. Thanks for your call. I'm sure we can sort this out.
Thanks very much for your help. I hope we can sort it out too. Bye for now.
Yes, bye.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear a speech given by the head of a company to some new employees. You have 30 seconds to look at questions 11 to 16.
First of all, a warm welcome to Barker's Country Safaris. We're delighted to have you all on board for this season. I know you've all been told a bit about the company when you had your job interview, but I thought it would be worth telling you a bit more about ourselves. Barker's was set up 10 years ago by myself, John, and my then girlfriend and now wife, Nancy. We started it initially just as a hobby. We felt that there was a good opportunity to share our love of the countryside in this part of the world with the many visitors who come here. As you know, most people come for the beaches in the summer, but there is so much more to the region, and this is what we wanted to exploit. Nancy and I were born near here, and as teenagers we went climbing, kayaking, whitewater rafting, potholing, and just straightforward walking. This district is in our blood, and we love it. While we were still at university, we started taking small groups of visitors out into the national park in Nancy's brother's old Land Rover. We'd drive them around the back lanes and into the forest. We'd also organise rock climbing tours for friends of friends. Then, each year, without us having to advertise, people came back to us to ask for more excursions and trips. So, 5 years ago, we gave up our other jobs to focus full-time on Barker's Country Safaris. Now, 2 years after that, we set up the activity tour part of the business, and 1 year ago, we expanded into organising activities for school groups during term time. Obviously, this was a massive challenge with all the health and safety requirements, but it's proving a great success.
You now have 30 seconds to look at questions 17 to 20. You now have 30 seconds to look at questions 17 to 20.
Anyway, we'll certainly not be dealing with school parties during the summer holidays. Our clients for the next 3 months are mostly family parties or groups of friends, and I'd like to talk a bit now about the tours we offer and what your responsibilities will be. Our most popular excursion is the Woodland Tour and Trail. Now, often this is sold out and we have all of our 10 jeeps in convoy with 8 people in each jeep. It's a lot of fun. These tours really offer a taster of what we can provide. So as both driver and guide, it is important that you do a good job here so they come back for the bigger tours. I will talk about the commission package later. As the summer days are so long, we have 3 tours each day, but you will not be expected to work on more than 2 of them. Morning tours start at 8 a.m. and go to midday. Afternoon tours are from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. and then evening ones 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. All the tours follow the same route, and you should have made yourselves familiar with all the key information. This was provided to you in the information pack you were sent when you accepted the job offer. This is important, so if you haven't had time yet, please do so now. Our second most popular tour is the Family Exclusive. Now, this tour is for the whole day and for only one group. Usually it is just one Jeep, but sometimes there are two if the party is large. These tours go from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. and include lunch at the Brown Bear in Lower Middleton. We have a number of different routes for these tours, as we don't want our premium clients being made to feel that they are part of a large package deal. You will be told which route to take with your weekly schedule. Now, I'd like to move on to these specialty tour packages. These are the ones that we are keen to book people on once they've done the Woodland Tour and Trail trip.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You are going to hear a conversation between Sally and Ben. They are new college students. You now have some time to read questions 21 to 25. Now, listen to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 21 to 25.
Hi, Ben.
Sally.
How are you?
Fine.
I wondered if I'd run into you. When did you get here?
I only arrived last night, just in time. I prefer to travel on Sundays to miss the working rush. I suppose you arrived in plenty of time.
Oh, I've been here for 4 days now. So it must have been Thursday that I arrived. I like to have a good chance to look around and settle in.
I should have come earlier too. I'm hoping to get a part-time job.
Well, you've no time today, I suppose. Do you still plan to be an architect?
Yes. It's what I've always wanted to do. And you were planning to do economics, weren't you?
Yes, I was. But now I've decided on psychology instead.
How many textbooks do you have to get? I've been given this long list, and I'm sure they'll cost a fortune. See?
That looks a lot. It's longer than my list.
Well, it's 14, all told. So I might use library copies instead of buying some of them. What about you?
I'll probably buy the whole lot of mine because I only have 5 on my list. Although I'm sure there are many more I'll have to read.
Luckily, we don't have to read them all straight away. Have you got your class timetable yet?
It came with the book list. When do your lectures start?
Tuesday. That's tomorrow. How about yours?
Oh, I've got an extra day. The day after yours start.
Now you have some time to read questions 26 to 30. As the conversation continues, they are talking about their new college life. Listen carefully and answer questions 26 to 30.
It's nothing like school, is it?
Not so far, and the lectures will certainly be different. Do you have any special approach for keeping up with lectures and the amount we have to read?
Well, I usually try to read every word in a book in case I miss something important. So I suppose I'll try to write down every word of the lecture, if I can.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I'd get cramp in my fingers, and I wouldn't really hear what was being said. I usually skim a book when I read, and underline key parts, so I guess I'll try to make notes on the main points of the lecture. Have you thought of using a cassette recorder?
You mean to record the lecture?
Yep. Then you could make really good notes.
Is it allowed?
I think so. It must be. Plenty of people seem to do it. It has to be better than trying to write every word as you listen.
Anyway, what's your first lecture about?
Oh, it's on the Industrial Revolution.
The Industrial Revolution? Sounds boring to me.
Not really. It made a big difference to everything, including architecture eventually. So what's your first lecture about?
It's about what separates humans from other animals.
Okay. Look, I was on my way to the library to check out some of these books on my list. I have a tutorial paper to give in a couple of weeks.
Oh, what's the topic?
Well, I think our lecturer must have trouble thinking up topics. The topic is, why study architecture?
I don't know. It could give you a chance to set out what you want to do.
I guess so. Have you been given any tutorials to do yet?
Yes. Mine is called Needs for Sleep.
Sounds almost as interesting as mine.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
You will hear a lecturer talking about dust storms. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 36. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 36.
In the last lecture, we looked at the adverse effects of desert dust on global climate. Today, we're going to examine more closely what causes dust storms and what other effects they can have. As you know, dust storms have always been a feature of desert climates, but what we want to focus on today is the extent to which human activity is causing them. And it's this trend that I want to look at, because it has wide-ranging implications. So, what are these human activities? Well, there are two main types that affect the wind erosion process, and thus the frequency of dust storms. There are activities that break up naturally wind-resistant surfaces, such as off-road vehicle use and construction. And there are those that remove protective vegetation cover from soils, for example, mainly farming and drainage. In many cases, the two effects occur simultaneously, which adds to the problem. Let's look at some real examples and see what I'm talking about. Perhaps the best-known example of agricultural impact on desert dust is the creation of the USA's Dust Bowl in the 1930s. The dramatic rise in the number of dust storms during the latter part of that decade was the result of farmers mismanaging their land. In fact, choking dust storms became so commonplace that the decade became known as the Dirty Thirties. Researchers observed a similar but more prolonged increase in dustiness in West Africa between the 1960s and the 1980s, when the frequency of the storms rose to 80 a year. And the dust was so thick that visibility was reduced to 1,000 meters. This was a hazard to pilots and road users. In places like Arizona, the most dangerous dust clouds are those generated by dry thunderstorms. Here, this type of storm is so common that the problem inspired officials to develop an alert system to warn people of oncoming thunderstorms. When this dust is deposited, it causes all sorts of problems for machine operators. It can penetrate the smallest nooks and crannies and play havoc with the way things operate, because most of the dust is made up of quartz, which is very hard. Another example. The concentration of dust originating from the Sahara has risen steadily since the mid-1960s. This increase in wind erosion has coincided with a prolonged drought, which has gripped the Sahara's southern fringe. Drought is commonly associated with an increase in dust-raising activity, but it's actually caused by low rainfall, which results in vegetation dying off.
In the second part, the speaker talks about the drying up of the Aral Sea. Look at questions 37 to 40 and complete the flowchart.
One of the foremost examples of modern human-induced environmental degradation is the drying up of the Aral Sea in Central Asia. Its ecological demise dates from the 1950s, when intensive irrigation began in the then Central Asian republics of the USSR. This produced a dramatic decline in the volume of water entering the sea from its two major tributaries. In 1960, the Aral Sea was the fourth largest lake in the world, but since that time it has lost two-thirds of its volume. Its surface area has halved, and its water level has dropped by more than 216 metres. A knock-on effect of this ecological disaster has been the release of significant new sources of wind-blown material as the water level has dropped. And the problems don't stop there. The salinity of the lake has increased so that it is now virtually the same as seawater. This means that the material that is blown from the dry bed of the Aral Sea is highly saline. Scientists believe it is adversely affecting crops around the sea because salts are toxic to plants. This shows that dust storms have numerous consequences beyond their effects on climate, both for the workings of environmental systems and for people living in dry lands.
That is the end of part 4.